station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, of course. And if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and we try to do it in a fun, upbeat, perky style. And we provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. And we do that for you by providing guests in various professions of the entertainment industry. Now, these are top professionals. These are people who know what's going on, and when they give advice, you can be guaranteed it's accurate. So this means that we are definitely going to have someone from a career that you're interested in, because we have producers, directors, singers, actors, models, musicians, you name it. If they're in entertainment, we have them on this show. We even have Oscar winners. Oh, actually, excuse me, Emmy winners. We haven't had Oscar yet, but I'm working on one right now. And we have Emmy winners, Clio Award winners, you name it. So this is the show you definitely want to hear all the scoops from. Now, if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, we have an official website, which is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And you can check out all the guests that are upcoming for the year. We book a year in advance, so you can see that on the website. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, and listen or download any of the shows, you can do that. And if you're on the website right now, you can click on the top link. It's called Schedule One. It's at the top of the LA Talk Radio website, and you look for our show Question Reality in the time slot, which is Sundays at 5. Click the link, and you can either play it immediately, or you click the download, and it'll start downloading directly to your computer. And you can do that at your own leisure. We also are on iTunes, so you can find any of our shows with any of our guests on iTunes. And we'd love for you to call in and ask questions and provide comments on to the guest. So since we're live, you can call in at any time. But we do ask that you call in between 5:20 and 5:30, just to kind of give the guest time to go through their introductions and to just kind of get themselves situated. So between 5:20 and 5:30. And when you call in, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. It's not like Frasier over here. You talk right directly to me. And the call-in number should be right in front of you if you're listening to the show live now. But just in case you want to jot it down, it's area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And I suggest that you do get a little pen and paper if you don't have one now, because we are going to be giving you the information to see our guest film tomorrow. So you'll want to take down the name and address and the time. And we'll be doing that in a couple minutes. But get a pen and paper or pull out the notepad on the computer. Now, we have a fantastic guest for you today. His name is Rob Williams, producer, director, and I'm sure there are tons of other titles, and we are going to get to him in a minute. He's patiently waiting, but we do have to do our intro topics. Wanted to let you know, Rob Rowe, you know, our favorite person, Rob Rowe of ScreenplayLabs.com, he is having a fantastic mixer again. You know, he has these mixers. They're very, very profitable for actors and people in the entertainment in general. Now, he's having this on, oh my God, I can't go. It's on my birthday, Thursday, November the 12th at 7 p.m. So he's having that. It's a cocktail party, again, Thursday, November 12th at 7. And it's going to end about 10. And it's at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. And that's in, of course, Beverly Hills. So please go to that. They're really fun, very profitable. I've heard so many stories about people hooking up and making projects and just really having lasting friendships working in the film business. So hopefully you can make it to that. And then on October the 24th, which just passed, I wanted to tell you, remember I was telling you guys to go to the seminar with Tom Malloy. So I just wanted to let you know about what happened. It was just so, so successful. And there's still time for that to get to know him. But Tom Malloy, he presented a seminar on how to bankroll your films to a packed house. And this is what he did, because he had a 99-seat theater. It was at the Lost Studios in Hollywood. And all the people were so impressed with this guy. I mean, there were emails and people are still talking about this. And they were very excited because a lot of them were producers, aspiring directors, aspiring actors who want to know, how can I do a business plan that's catered to doing films? How can I do it for television projects or even plays? And this guy gives you all the information that you need in order to cater your business plan specifically for the film business. So he basically described his experiences. He was an actor producer. He finances his own films rather than wait for a casting director to cast him as an actor and the studio to greenlight his picture. He reached out to high net worth investors and back to his films. He got it. And he also, I have, if you're interested, I have his 6 tips on how to get an investor to say yes to your film project. And we're talking anywhere from $250K to $6 million. So if you want that, please email me. I'd be more than happy to send that to you. And his latest film is called Love and Dancing. And oh my God, he's cast himself in it. It stars himself and Amy Smart. So who doesn't love Amy Smart? So now Malloy says that he likes to have film projects in the $250K to $6 million range. The less than $250K would mean that he's working for free and that over $6 million is unlikely to be profitable without studio backing. So in pitching individual investors, Malloy says a key technique is to pitch to the vested interest. So what is that? For example, a major investor in Loving Dancing, the movie he just did, is the owner of a chain of dance studios. And Amy Smart loves to dance. So blah, blah, blah. There you go. Accepting the role meant she'd receive weeks of training from a top ballroom dancer. So there you go. And some people don't make that connection. They're like, oh my God, who should I try to target? You know, my film's about this. And they don't even think, you know, to target people that are actually in the business and that they're going to profit from that. So if you want to find out more about Tom Malloy, go to his website, bankrollthebook.com. Bankrollthebook.com, BankrollTheBook.com, and check this guy out. He is a very vivacious character, and he will help you get your film project off the ground. Now, somebody who doesn't need to go to this website is my guest, and that's because he is rocking and rolling and shaking and moving, and God knows how much money he has for his projects, but I'm going to try to dig it out of him, and that is our guest today, Rob Williams. Now, Rob Williams he's the co-founder of Guest House Films, and this is an LA-based film company, and this film company is the leader in the niche of gay independent cinema. And Rob has produced an astounding, ready for this, 4 films in just under 3 years. Okay, 4 films. Now, I don't know if you guys know how amazing this is to do 4 films in 3 years. I mean, some people it takes one film 50 years, but God bless them. But 4 films in just 3 years, and this would include the film called Long-Term Relationship, Back Soon, and my personal favorite for a title, 3-Day Weekend. Woo! I love that. Who wouldn't want to have a 3-day weekend and think you only had 2? Woo! That's pretty good. Now, Rob's newest film, which I'm very, 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 very excited about because I, as you know, love anything holiday related, anything from November the 1st until the end of New Year's Eve. That is the most exciting time in my world. So this new film is called, and I love this title, are you ready? Make the Yuletide Gay. Love this! This is so creative. I don't know who who came up with that. We're going to find out, but I love that. It's a gay-themed family Christmas comedy, and wait till you hear who it's starring. I was just excited. I was just over the moon about this. Okay, Adamo Ruggiero from Degrassi, The Next Generation. Now, here, I can't wait to say this. Okay, Allison Arngrim from Little House on the Prairie. And you say, why are you so excited about Allison Arngrim? Well, that's because I know Allison Arngrim. I was very fortunate to meet her in January. She's a mutual friend of my friend Pamela Clay McGoughan, who is a performer, is a singer, and I met her at Molly Malone's. As a matter of fact, I am trying to get Allison Arngrim to do my show, and I'm going to try to butter Rob up to put in a good word for me to get her to do my show. She did say she was going to be in Paris doing a one-woman show, but hopefully Rob will love me by the end of the show and he'll put a little bug in her ear. Now, the next star of his show is someone that my husband and I love. My husband is a huge Star Trek Next Generation fan. Albert loves the show, and it stars in Make the Yuletide Gay, Gates McFadden. Do you remember that stunning, beautiful woman on Star Trek The Next Generation, Gates McFadden? Love her. She's in the movie. And he also has Daytime Emmy Award winner Ian Buchanan. And he has so many more. I couldn't go into the list, but these are the ones that are just the little spicy ones for me. And now this film is so hot, okay? This film has sold out many film festivals, and it has garnered much praise from critics, and it has won 4 audience awards from the Film Out San Diego and the Seoul LGBT Film Festival. And Rob is currently getting ready to work on some new films. He's gearing up. He's got his little claws out, and he's ready to dig in. And it's including the screen adaptation of the popular book Van Allen's Ecstasy and Stick Figures. And this is a joint project with actor-producer Matthew Montgomery of Proteus Pictures. So he's got a lot going on. Make the Yuletide Gay. Get your pen and paper, because I'm going to tell you what it's about, and I'm going to tell you where you can go see it, because guess what? It's coming out tomorrow. Woo! I'm excited. Okay, now I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it, and then if I'm wrong, he's gonna fill me in. But I've got a refreshingly funny and heartwarming holiday treat about a young man who returns home to his Midwestern family for Christmas. But his college boyfriend makes a surprise visit. Our hero must navigate all the comical mishaps and misunderstandings as he fumbles his way out of the closet. Oh my God. Now that in itself, you know what that's going to be about, and you know you're going to love that. That's got to be hysterical. I love all of the misunderstandings and mishaps. That's what makes the movie funny for me. Now, the film opens tomorrow. Yay! Okay, pen and paper time. Here you go. Make the Yuletide Gay is going to open at the Lamely Theater Sunset 5. The Lamely Theater Sunset 5 tomorrow night. And the Sunset 5 is at 8000 Sunset Boulevard. 8000 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood. 90046 if you need it. And the website is lamely.com, and that's lamely.com. Now, the show is going to be playing every day at 1 p.m. Now, if you go to the website, you'll see that there's general information, but it's not applicable to his film. So I had gotten that information. It was wrong. So every day at 1 p.m., and the ticket price is $7. Now, you can't beat that for a laugh. Who wouldn't pay $7 for a laugh if they're manic, depressant, or bipolar? I would. So get your $7, and you'll feel so much better. And the movie's fantastic. So let's just get excitement, because he is here. He is wonderful, and let's introduce him now. Did I talk too much, and should we just hang up because I've just done everything, Rob Williams?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered everything, so thank you so much for having me on.
Well, my God, I was hoping to get everything in there so you could, not not worry so much about covering everything, but there's so much to cover. Now, let me ask you, how excited are you about the movie opening tomorrow? And, you know, do you always get excited about one of your films opening, or because you've made so many, do the big butterflies, have they flown away?
Oh, I get excited and I get nervous before every single screening. Whether it's, I'm really excited that we're having this theatrical run at the Sunset 5, but I get nervous before every film festival screening, even if it's sold out, even, you know, no matter what, I always get really excited and I love it. So I'm going to be there, all this week to kind of intro the film and answer questions. We're going to have some of the cast members there, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, are you doing a Q&A after the show every day or before?
Yes. We're going to do a Q&A afterwards.
Okay.
Every day. We're going to have a lot of the cast members there. We're kind of finalizing the schedule, but there's going to be someone there every day, so you never know who's going to be there when you show up. So
we can't get a scoop. We don't know if Gates McFadden or Allison Arngren is going to actually be there. They have to come every single day and spend $7 and see it every day, don't they?
Yes. And I think everyone should come and see it every single day.
I think so, too. Forget about It's a Wonderful Life. We want to go see Make the Yuletide Gay, right?
That's right. Get in the holiday spirit. I've been watching this all year long.
Yeah.
People loved it when we debuted it in May at a film festival. They've loved it all summer long, and now that we're finally kind of into the holiday season, you know, I know people are going to love it even more.
Now, I did just a very brief synopsis of what it's about, but did I kind of encapsulate everything, or can you tell us, is it so much more than that? And can you tell us who the characters are and who they're played by?
Sure. It's you captured it's a gay college student who comes back home to visit his parents for the Christmas holidays. But he's not out of the closet to them, so he is pretending to be straight, and he hasn't told them yet. And then his boyfriend shows up and surprises him. And in the meantime, his parents are trying to set him up with his college, his high school girlfriend. And there's, you know, wacky neighbors and whatever. So it's just a whole lot of fun. The parents are played by Derek Long and Kelly Keaton, who are just absolutely hysterical. The main character, Olaf Gunnarsson, is played by Keith Jordan. He's kind of an up-and-coming actor, and he's incredibly talented, and everyone's going to fall in love with him in this. And then the boyfriend's played by Adamo Ruggiero from Degrassi, and he's just fantastic. And then in addition to everyone you mentioned, there's also Holly Hirsch, who played Dr. Green's daughter on ER for many years, and mm-hmm. she plays the high school girlfriend next door, and she's just fantastic. So
now where are my two girlfriends? You haven't mentioned my two girlfriends, even though I don't know Gates McFadden, I would like to call her my girlfriend anyway. What roles do they have in the movie?
Gates McFadden plays the mother of the boyfriend.
Okay.
And so what happens is that his parents basically ditch him for the holidays, and mm-hmm. so that's why he ends up going to this family's house. So she's the kind of the cold, distant mother who kind of forgot to tell her son that, oh, by the way, we're not going to be home for Christmas.
Oh, so, I can totally see her doing that too.
Yeah.
She's
fantastic. We love
her.
Oh,
my God. And she's so stunning. The woman is like a flawless beauty. She played the doctor on, for people who go, oh, I know the name, but I can't really. She played the doctor on Star Trek Next Generation. Am I correct? I believe
yes.
I am. Yes, I know I
yes.
am. You just never
beautiful
know so much.
Beautiful red hair. She hasn't aged a day since Star Trek. It's amazing.
There was always that sexual tension between her and Picard, and I'm like, get a room already. My God, you two. Now, Allison Arngren from Little House on the Prairie, she played Nellie on Little House on the Prairie. She's also
yes.
in the movie. What character does she play?
She is the next-door neighbor, and she's the mother of the girl that the high school girlfriend that the parents are trying to set their son up with. But she doesn't get along with this these parents, and so she gets to play kind of a modern-day Nellie Olson.
I love it!
They get some great lines going back and forth with clearly a long-standing rivalry between the two mothers, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, and, you know, as soon as you were describing what that character was, and you had Allison, I thought in my mind, oh, my God, it almost sounds like an adult version of Nellie. So that was, like, perfect casting. Did you personally pick these actors, or, you know, did you write it? You know, tell us the movie. Did you write it? Do you direct it? Do you write it, direct it, produce it? Tell me what your role is, and did you also think of who the actors were and cast it? Give me all that information.
Okay. Well, I am the writer and director and one of the three producers. The other producers are my partner, Rondi Johnson, and Matthew Montgomery. But in writing it, I wrote it with Derek Long and Kelly Keaton in mind because I've worked with them before. And I know Kelly, I've known Kelly for years, and the mom in this film is from Wisconsin and has all these wacky sayings, don't you know, and that's totally based on her. And everyone else, we identified who we wanted to go after, and, you know, we're working with our casting agent, and it's like, oh, Gates McFadden would be great, let's get her. Allison Armstrong would be great, let's get her. The only person who actually auditioned, the only role we auditioned for was the lead, and that was Keith Jordan. I think he's going to be a huge star. So everyone else, we said, let's get him, let's get her. I love Adamo on Degrassi, The Next Generation, so I definitely want him. So.
Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want him, honey? Woo-hoo! Yeah, come sit on my lap. No. So anyway, what Keith Jordan, and let's promote him a little bit. Is that keithjordan.com? I want to see what he looks like. What's his website address? Give me his website.
I don't know if he has a website, but he's on Facebook, so you can find him
okay.
There.
And maybe IMDb girls. Look for him on IMDb. Oh, actually, girls and guys. Look for him on IMDb. Probably has something there, so I'm going to look him up.
Yes, he does.
Woo!
Look up Make the Yuletide Gay on IMDb, and you can
It's already on there. Fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Yay! All right. Now, who did you say, and I apologize because I don't think I heard this, who cast for you for this project?
Our casting director was Judy Cook.
Judy Cook, okay.
And she did, just a fantastic job in, you know, finding us Keith, and then also, you know, when we were sitting around talking, it's like, this character is like a modern-day Nellie Olson, and we just kind of looked at each other and said, we should get Allison Ungerum for it.
Yeah, why not go for the original? Now, how difficult was that getting Allison and Gates McFadden and, you know, these are pretty big stars. How difficult was it? Was it just a simple call or did you have to go through some hoops and hurdles?
It was relatively simple because we sent in the script. And, of course, Allison has been a great gay rights activist for years. And so, you know, she's very supportive of the cause, and so we knew she would be open to this, and she called back 2 days after she got the script to say, when do I show up? So we love her for that. And Gates McFadden also called. We just sent her the script, and she was it was right after Prop 8 had passed here in California, and she was very, angry that had passed, and she loved the message of the movie about, kind of loving your children unconditionally no matter what. And, so she came on board, I think, because of that. So.
Well, that seems very, you were very lucky. My God, I was just going to say, when did you hit the lottery? I mean, to be able to afford these actresses. Now, let me ask you, having the top quality talent that you have, because this show is about trying to inform our audience, it is an informative entertainment show. So for all of the people that are listening who want to get to the level of professionalism that you are and the level of expertise that you have and everything that you've done, they want to get from point A to point C, which is where you are. You're up there on the upper echelon. What advice would you give people who are trying to make a film and they have no budget, then maybe what advice would you give to people who have like a little budget, but it's coming out of like their personal and their family? And then also, how would you tell them to go about getting investors? Because you did mention that you had two investors. Can you give advice to the beginning filmmaker? How does one get to your level? How did you do it?
Well,
I know. All right, let's just start with one question. How did you start out? And when did you know? Did you think? Did you start out wanting to be an actor, and then you did the acting?
I started out just wanting to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went to a screenwriting workshop and was, you know, developing a lot of different kinds of scripts. And the greatest feedback that I got was on the script Long Term Relationship, which turned out to be my first movie, and it's a gay romantic comedy. And, you know, we made that on a total shoestring budget. And, you know, so I would say for people who, you know, have no money or have very little money, You can do it a lot easier today even than we did a few years ago making that, just because cameras are cheaper and it's easier to edit on your computer. And, you know, if you just ask around, people have cameras and equipment and are willing to donate their time. And you know, it's really not, I wouldn't say it's not difficult, but it's like, especially here in Los Angeles, you can't turn around without running into an actor or a gaffer or a production assistant or someone. So you just ask around and you find the right people.
Well, is it as easy now, because it seems like so many people ask actors and production crew to work on their project, and it's, you know, deferred payment, or they promise them copy credit meals. And it seems like, and I don't know if you've run into this, but it seems like I'm getting a lot of people who are actors or production crew are saying, you know, I am so tired of working on these projects that I get copy credit meals and they don't really go anywhere. So let me ask you, what can you as a beginning filmmaker do to entice getting quality people on your project and doing right by them, not just making promises and nothing happen? What can you legitimately promise people that will entice them to work on your project?
Well, first of all, while you can ask people to work on for free or work for deferred, you know, if you can get the budget together to pay to pay your crew, obviously that's the best way to do it. That's how we've always done it. We've always paid our actors and our crew.
How were you able to do that? I mean, say you don't.
We self-funded, and
okay.
You know, we started out on a very small budget, and from selling the first movie, you know, that rolled into the second movie. From selling that rolled into the third, and then, you know, and so on and so on. And we just kind of keep investing in them, and, you know, it's all paid off, because it all leads into being able to get bigger names and having a track record and having relationships with distributors and film festivals and crew and casting agents and everything. So all of that works. But I think my advice for kind of if you want to start out and you want to make sure kind of you go somewhere, what worked for us is that we targeted a niche market. We targeted the gay market, and there's a very strong demand for this market for films. There's not a lot of great films for this market out there, and so we, you know, focused on that, and that has allowed us to be successful. You know, horror is another area where it's like there's a great demand for that market. So kind of do your research and find out where the need is, and, you know, make films to target specific audiences. And, you know, that way you're not just kind of trying to reach the world. You're trying to reach a very specific audience.
And where would you suggest that they look to find out, okay, this is an area that is relatively untouched, which is kind of hard to find because I've seen just about every genre of film there is. But, you know, what's the secret? Because there's a million horror movies. Yes,
right.
I do agree that you definitely have the niche covered with the gay films. But with horror, my God, anybody wants to make a horror movie, and most of them, unfortunately, you know, they're not really the best. They're not Oscar winners. But what would you say
but there's demand,
to that?
You know,
yeah,
it's also doing what you love. If what you love and a profitable niche market kind of coincide, then you know that's the best of all possible worlds.
Well, I personally would love to see. I love that you are talking about how you found the niche in making gay films, because I swear to God, there are not enough gay films that are in mainstream. And my question is, how can we take films that like make the Yuletide gay? How can we get that in AMC theater? How can we get that, you know, out there? What are you going to do, or how, with people who are at your level, what do you do to get it to be in the mainstream commercial, quote, air quotes, unquote, theaters?
Well, you know, it's a lot of work. We're still primarily in the gay market. You know, the Sunset Five is you know, in West Hollywood. So, you know, we're in a way, we're preaching to the converted. But, you know, it still is getting out there. And when it comes out on DVD November 10th, by the way, right after the film run, you know, it's going to be available on Amazon and Netflix and iTunes. And, you know, you can rent it, you can buy it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of branches out. With this film, we were very specific, and we wanted to make a film that was had a broader appeal, and that wasn't just so targeted to the gay market, but something that you know, stays true to our roots, but then is more mainstream, so that people can relate to it. And that's what we're getting, is people relate to this idea, because everyone. And someone says this in the movie, everyone hides things from their parents when they're in college, you know, regardless of what it is. It could be what you're majoring in or who you're dating or whatever. And so everyone can relate to that feeling of going home for the holidays and not telling your parents everything about your life. This one just happens to be hasn't told them that he's gay, but that's something that people can relate to. And so that's kind of opening up the market, so it's not quite as specific to the gay genre.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's perfect timing for the holiday season. I personally feel there are not enough holiday movies that come out Christmassy type films. I love holiday films, and there aren't really that many good ones. You know, I mean, I'm still going back to It's a Wonderful Life and Christmas Bells and things like that. And you know, there aren't really that many. So I think people should make more holiday films. And this topic definitely doesn't seem like it's overt. It seems like this is a movie that should be in the AMC theaters or the Regal theaters. This is a topic that is covered in sitcoms and dramas. I mean, why not? So I hope that it gets to that point. Let me ask you something. Once you distribute that on Amazon and Netflix and all of the other venues, does that, again, this is for the audience that's listening who may not know this, the very beginning filmmaker, does this stop you from being able to get it to, say, the AMC Theater, Regal Theater, or is this an avenue to bridge to get to the commercial mainstream theater? But once it's been done,
it doesn't necessarily preclude you from getting into the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with us is, because it's a Christmas film, we really have this targeted area where, you know, we had to come out on DVD, you know, in November or December. But we're still, even after we come out on DVD, we have the theatrical run starting tomorrow, and then it comes out on DVD. You know, we're still playing film festivals, and we're still playing different venues all over the country and around the world, actually. So it doesn't necessarily stop you. It just, you know, if there's a demand for it, then you can keep going. And what I tell people also is, if you tell your fans, like if you have a movie and people love the movie, tell them to contact the theater. Tell them to contact the distributor. Tell them to contact their local video store and say, you know, carry this movie, book this movie, because I want to see it.
There's a lot
of power in the masses coming together and saying, we like this movie, book this movie in the theater.
So that actually works.
It does actually work. And, you know, for us, this is our fourth film, and so we have a good track record in our community. So what happens is, especially with the film festivals, when this comes around, people are saying, I hear there's a new Guest House Films movie. Please book it in the festival because I love his past films. So, you know, that really helps.
So is it a goal to get Guest House Films as the name on the tongue, or is it to get Rob Williams? And I don't mean you specifically. I'm talking about what should the thought process be as a filmmaker? And I'm just using you as an example.
Well, it's both. You know, we, as a company, Guest House Films, produces gay-themed films. And that's, you know, we've built up a nice track record and reputation for that. For me, as a writer and a director, you know, I, you know, still want to branch out. And, I have mainstream scripts. And I'm talking to people about possibly coming onto their projects to direct their films, something, you know, they're producing and writing. So, you know, for me, there's still a world out there that I want to get my name out there as a writer and a director. And then Guest House Films is the production company. And so, you know, they're hand in hand, but you want to get both of your names out there.
Now, what type of filmmaker would you say that you have a certain, I'm going to say, again, in air quotes, a certain look and a certain feel for the project you do? For example, if you were to watch a film and you would know that it's a Tim Burton film by the way it looks. If you were to watch Tarantino. If you were to watch a Tarantino, you would, if you didn't know, if you were just an audience member and they said, we're going to show you some films and you have to guess who they are, you would specifically know, even if you weren't an avid film watcher, you'd know that that was their films. Do you recommend, one, that you develop a certain look from the beginning, or do you think that it kind of comes as you start working on a lot of film projects? And do you yourself have a certain look and feel that is identifiable or a kind of a trademark look?
I don't think that I have a trademark look or feel to my mm-hmm. films. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've purposely made different kinds of films as well. My first film was a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. The second film was kind of a romantic supernatural drama. The third film was an ensemble drama, and this is now a family Christmas comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all very different types of films. They're different mm-hmm. types of scripts. They kind of reach different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And
Choose that because you want to be diverse. You don't want to be, you know, in a certain type of.
Exactly. I mean, the filmmaker that I look to kind of as, you know, I would love to have a career like him is Woody Allen. Because granted, for, if you watch long term, yes, there are certain traits and certain actors and certain things. But if you were to watch, you know, Annie Hall and Crimes and Misdemeanors back to back, you wouldn't know that they were necessarily by the same person.
Mm.
Because he does, you know, he does broad comedy, he does heavy drama. And so I wouldn't be able to do all of that. But what I love, he also uses actors he knows and loves again and again, and I've done that. And, I'd like to think that if there's a trademark, is that the films are good quality and that they, you know, speak to the audience and that, you know, people will enjoy them.
Now, let me ask you, you had just said something that you you tend to use actors for your various films maybe more than once. We see that a lot in Hollywood, and we kind of know, for example, when there's a Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks might be in the film, there's a great mm-hmm. chance. And we kind of see that with various filmmakers and actors. Do you think that that's a good idea to team up with a specific actor that you start working with early on that you feel is going to be a breakout actor such as Keith Jordan? Or do you think that a filmmaker should choose different, a variety of different actors rather than have that one actor that is kind of a guarantee for a blockbuster? What do you think?
Well, I think especially if you're starting out, most importantly, you should always choose the best actor for the part.
Of course.
But as a writer, I know I've gone into projects with specific actors in mind because I've worked with them and I know them and I know that I can write to their strengths. And, you know, certainly that was the case with Make the Yuletide Gay, with Kelly Keaton and Derek Long. I knew them. I knew how they talked. I knew what their skills were, and, you know, so I wanted to play to that strength, and I, you know, worked with a lot of the same people on my second film from the first film, and there is that comfort level, but if they're not right for the part, you know, don't just work with them just because of that. That being said, Keith Jordan is amazing, and I think he's going to be a huge star, and I would love to work with him again. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting what you just said. So maybe could we possibly say that as a writer, if you're having a problem kind of figuring out what you should write next, if maybe you don't have an idea, look to the actor friends that you have, and maybe possibly something is going on in their life that you could find as a topic. Is that safe to say that the actor and writer need to be like peanut butter and jelly?
Well, that can help certainly, but even in the kind of the mainstream scripts that I've written, and you know, I'm trying to shop around and everything. I think the ones that work the best are the ones where I've told myself I'm writing this for a specific actor or actress. And so you put them in your mind and you try to capture their voice. And I think that always helps if you know that, you know, this character needs to be like this actress, that kind of type. And sometimes it's writings like, oh, this should be some famous actress, or this could be my friend Kelly. You know, it could, you know, just doing that helps you write the characters more specifically and make them more real because, you know, you're thinking in a specific voice.
Very interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to my audience. I think it will. Now, you mentioned some of your past movies. I'd love for you to tell me, one, the title, and tell me just a brief synopsis of what it's about and where we can find it in case we wanna watch some of your past films.
Okay. The first film is Long-Term Relationship, and that's a romantic comedy. It's very much in the mold of traditional romantic comedies, only it's boy meets boy, boy loses boy gets boy back, and they have a happy ending. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it's just a straightforward romantic comedy that happens to be about two men.
Okay, is that available for the audience to watch?
Yes, all of my films are on DVD. They're on. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them on Netflix. You can get them pretty much anywhere you can order DVDs online.
Excellent.
You can get them.
Excellent.
You know, Blockbuster has most of them.
Wow.
Netflix. You know, just. And the thing is, they're all with great distributors, so it's like if you want to see them, you can find them online or go to your local video store and say, hey, can you get this film for me? And they'll get it for you.
Now, let me ask you, we're going to definitely get back to the rest of your films, but you just brought up a thought that actually I got an email from someone who wants to ask you a question. How did you get your films distributed by such huge distributors like Amazon, Blockbuster, etc. That's an email I just got. So if you could answer
that.
Well,
that was one of the advantages of working in a niche market, because there are really just a handful of distributors who handle gay and lesbian films.
Mm-hmm.
So once we made our first film, Long Term Relationship, we sent it out to the gay film festivals,
mm-hmm.
and it did very well and played a lot of film festivals, and it came to the attention of the gay distributors. And so we were able to target those distributors, and because there's such a small number, it was very easy to see who's in the game and who we should get it to.
Mm-hmm.
And then that also then worked for the second film. Our first film was distributed by Hear Films, and our last three have all been distributed by TLA Releasing.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they get them into Amazon and Blockbuster and Netflix.
Okay, so they pretty much contacted you. You didn't have to go out on a crusade to get them to...
Well, I mean, we were definitely, you know, contacting them and letting them know we have this film, it's playing film festivals, et cetera.
Okay.
But once they started playing film festivals and getting good reviews and getting great mm-hmm. feedback from crowds,
mm-hmm.
then that drives the demand of the distributors seeing what does well at the film festivals and going out and acquiring those films.
Fantastic. And again, that's because you have that niche cornered. I mean, my God, and they're probably fantastic films. I haven't seen any of them, but obviously they're fantastic for the distributors to jump on board like that. Of course they are, Rob. Now tell me, what's the next one about? Tell me the name of the film.
Film?
Also feel free to mention who's in it as well.
Okay. The next film was called Back Soon, and it starred Matthew Montgomery and Wyndham Beecham,
mm-hmm.
and it was a romantic drama about two straight men who find themselves attracted to each other, but it turns out there's kind of some supernatural reasons behind it, and I won't give any of that away.
Oh, that sounds so good! I love anything supernatural, yeah!
Well, then,
what's
then
the name of that again? I'm so sorry.
That's called Back Soon. Back soon.
Back, okay, all right.
Like, I will be back soon.
Okay, back soon, got it. Mm-hmm.
And then the third film was 3 Day Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about eight men who go out to a cabin in the woods for a long weekend, and kind of all of the drama that happens when you put two couples and four single straight men in a cabin for a weekend.
Oh, my God, I love that! were there arguments and, you know, debates and, you know, the emotions and drama?
There's fights, there's hookups, there's, you know, all that. That was all
fights
on the screen. The actors in real life got along great, and that was so much fun to make.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So these are all available for distribution, Long Term Relationship, Back Soon, and 3 Day Weekend. You can get those people at Amazon and Netflix. As a matter of fact, that's great, because I'm going to go in Netflix right now and put those in my queue.
And if you're anti-gay, you can already put it on your queue. You can pre-order on Amazon. And I also want to say we've got a soundtrack for Make the Yule Tide Gay that has six new Christmas songs that were written for the film, and then we've got new versions of some Christmas carols and some score, and that's available on Amazon and iTunes as well.
Oh, my God, really? Oh, I'm always looking for new Christmas music. How many more Frosty the Snowmans can I listen to? Oh, this is fantastic. Now, is the soundtrack going to also be available on, say, CD Baby, or is
you can buy that now. It's on Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes, let me think where else, TLAvideo.com, which is our distributor. You can pre-order the movie and the soundtrack there. And if you go on to YouTube or Facebook, we just did our first music video for the song Gloria, and it's by Jake Monaco and Jen Hansen. And I encourage everyone to check it out, because it's got it's a great Christmas song, but it's also got some clips from the movie, so you get a little sneak preview of
what's in store. Oh, my God, that's great. What is it called? Monaco?
Gloria.
Gloria.
The song is called Gloria, The artist, the duo who did all the original songs are Jake Monaco and Jen Hansen.
Oh, fantastic. I was trying to write that down, and I'm writing all kinds of stuff. Monaco. Fantastic. I'm going to go and do that now. I hope my audience does that. And do you have anything you're working on now? I think you said you were working right now on a screen adaptation of the popular book Van Allen's Ecstasy and Stick Figures. We have 2 minutes. Let's hear about that. What are you doing with that?
Stick Figures is a film that our company is producing. Matthew Montgomery wrote it, mm-hmm. and April Winnie's going to direct it, and hopefully that will be shot in the spring. Van Allen's Ecstasy, we're adapting. We're looking for investors for that, so if anyone out there is interested, let us know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just looking for a lot of different things. We're getting a lot of interest in a sequel to Make the Yuletide Gay, so fingers crossed on that. And all of this information is on our website, which is guesthousefilms.com.
Guesthousefilms.com. Now, what if some actors heard you and they're like, oh, my God, I am a hot gay man, and I want to be the next star of your film. Where can they contact you? Do they go to guesthousefilms.com?
They can go to guesthousefilms.com, and they can go to Facebook. And look up Make the Yuletide Gay.
Mm-hmm.
From there you can find me, Rob Williams, and you know it, people can contact me through there.
I'm gonna Facebook you. I wanna be a friend of Rob Williams. I wanna be your friend. I want you to please get in contact with your publicist, the wonderful Stephen Levine, and thank him so much for referring you as a guest. I think you've been fantastic, and I think you have helped my audience. And please put me on your email list so that we can do announcements for any upcoming projects that you do. I would love to give you free advertisements for that.
Excellent.
For you.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Oh, I love you so much, and I thank you for being my guest, and we are all going to look for Rob Williams. Make the Yuletide Gay, opening tomorrow, Lamely Sunset, $5, $7. Can't beat it, every day at 1 o'clock. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, guests. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Have a great holiday season.
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.